I remember when I was going through that trial, first starting the church and being 1,200 to 2,000 short every month. And not only was I believing for our bills to be paid on time every time, on time all the time, every single time is what I would declare, I was confessing for supernatural debt payoff. Well, within 2 years, only 1 year being on a salary, we paid off $60,000 worth of debt. We didn't just make it. We dominated in it, right? And that's what we were confessing for. But I wasn't just saying that blindly because, you know, that's just what I wanted. I saw in the Old Testament where the lady, her husband had died, and he was the breadwinner, bringing in the money, and he died and left with left debts to be paid. And the way they were going to pay him off was that her children were going to go work off those debts. Well, I'll tell you what, no mama wants to lose her children to go off to work to pay off the debts. And so what happened is she got supernatural debt payoff, didn't she? Yeah. Remember the prophet said, go borrow all the vessels of oil. She said, I don't have anything, just except a vessel with a little oil in it. He said, that's okay, go out and borrow all the vessels you can find from your neighbors and friends and start pouring it. And the Bible says that the oil cruse did not fail until there was no more vessels. And she sold that and paid off her debt. What is that? That's called supernatural debt payoff. But see, the foundation of that song is, he was the same yesterday, today, and forever. I said, if he did that for her, he'll do that for me, and he did. Better start getting something like that in your mouth, praise the Lord. Instead of complaining about the debts and magnifying the debts, start saying, thank you, Father. See, but your problem sometimes is you think, well, my income's only such. Well, I didn't have an income and it happened. I didn't have anything to try to make it happen. I saw it in the Bible. Same yesterday, today, and forever. He better love that woman more than he loves me. In fact, if anything, I'm in a better position than she is. She's not redeemed. Jesus didn't die for her. He died for me. Yet God still did that for her. Why? Because he's good. He'll do it for you. Praise God. Yesterday, today, and forever. So all you got to do is find out what you're going through. Find it one place in the Word, and you got it. Praise the Lord. He'll do it for you. Well, let's pray as we get into the Bible tonight for our hell. I'll tell you, we could just stop and go home and say, church happened. I mean, that will change your life if you'll get a hold of that. Praise the Lord. Not just financially, healing. He healed people with incurable diseases. What are you facing that the doctors say can't be cured? Well, he healed them, he'll heal you. Situations that look impossible, that you have no way in your mind can figure out. How's it going to turn around? If he did it for someone, he'll do it for you. It's true. Praise God. Father, thank you for being so good. Thank you for being so wonderful. Lord, we just love you so much tonight. We thank you for utterance already, Father. We thank you for utterance throughout the service and for boldness. Interrupt the service. Do whatever you want to do, Father. We'll let you be God here tonight. But Lord, as I minister, speak through me that my words would not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. And Father, I just thank you so much that we'll minister words of life tonight. And Father, I thank you people will be helped and changed. And hearts will be touched, Father, for exactly what people need to hear. And we'll walk out of here blessed and ready to move into the next phase of glory that you would have for us. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. Philippians 4 and verse 19. Praise God. Well, Caleb's already talking about next Father's Day. He is a raring to go. Oh, man. Daddy, can we still do that? Can we do that song again next year? I said, oh, no, we'll do a different one, but I'll probably have him. I think there might be something there with him. He just loves to worship, so we might have him sing a little bit more with you, but he is just raring to go. So you're all so sweet to him. I just appreciate you being so kind and generous to my family, and just thank you for that. But he's ready to go. He'd do the same song every Father's Day if it was up to him. But Philippians 4 and verse 19, it says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, praise the Lord for that. Hallelujah. I'm going to help you, really help you tonight. I'm going to give you four steps in life that if you'll put them to practice in any situation that you face when there's a financial need, it'll work every single time for you, no matter how small or how big. But, you know, we live in a world, honestly, that we just are going to have to. And I try to make this clear to people. It's not a surprise. And I don't know if some people try to paint a rosy picture of Christianity. It's a life of victory, but it's not a life that's not challenged. It's not a life that's not going to come without opposition. It's not a life that's going to, you know, while we became saved, it's just we skip through the fields of daisies until we go home. No, there's always going to be tests, but the difference is we can have victory over every single one of them if we'll do it God's way. We cannot do it God's way and, you know, continue to struggle and crisis after crisis, conflict after conflict that we don't get by. But the point is we're going to face trials no matter what. The opposition is going to be there. The devil's always going to be pushing back. And one other thing that I've tried to make apparent here is that money is very important to God. That it's not only important for the kingdom, but it's important to Him for His children because He knows it's what you need to get by. It's what you need to pay the bills for your needs. It's what you need to enjoy life. And so money's not something very light with God, not just in the sense that it's a sign of where your heart is in the giving aspect of it, but He knows you need it. He knows the currency. He knows the world system. He knows what it takes to acquire the things that you need. And so if He knows how important it is, there's no doubt the enemy knows how important it is. And I don't think it's a surprise that Jesus talked more about money and material things than He talked about heaven and hell combined. Not because money's the most important thing in this world, but because it's the area that people will struggle the most in. And you say, is that true? Well, it is. You know, the number one thing that people meet with me about by far over anything else is financial struggles. And talking with other ministers, it's the same across the board for them. One of the number one reasons that one of them, it's not the only, but one of the number one reasons that marriages struggle and fail is finances is one of it's at the top. And so why is that? Well, the devil knows how important it is, so he tries to, you know, put little traps there, tries to put little problems there, and tries to push back, and tries to give you that opposition. And but thanks be to God, we have an answer. We always have an answer. Tonight's answer night tonight. Praise God. And just, you know, going, it would do you good really to get this verse inside your heart. And even when I said Philippians 4:19, you might have said to yourself, oh, I know exactly where it's going, but do you really know this verse? You know, let's just real quick look at it, and I'm going to go and show you some things. But my God shall supply all of your need, all of your need, all of your need. Every single thing you need in life, God never wants you to go without it. Never. Never wants you to go without it. But this is what it says. According, this is where you got to get your mind off your paycheck, your savings account, your job. According to His riches and glory. One translation says, on the scale of His wealth. On the scale of His wealth. Well, what's the scale of His wealth? It's unlimited. It's infinite. There is no stopping point with Him. According to His riches and glory. What if you see, if we know everything is done by faith and received by faith, how does your faith change when a bill shows up? When you know it's not according to what you have in your wallet, it's not according to what you have put aside in the bank or, you know, stuffed in the sock drawer or whatever. It's according to, on the scale of His wealth, which is infinite, which is unlimited. What does that do for your faith? See, your faith gets limited when the bill comes and you can't go and physically touch what you have and log into your bank account or pull it out of your pocket. And then when you don't have it, then all of a sudden you get frazzled and your faith goes down the tubes and you handcuff God from being able to help you. But this is what I want you to see about this verse, and it'll bring you great freedom, and then we'll go on to the four steps I'm going to tell you about tonight. Notice He said, my God shall supply all your need. Number one, God knew you'd have needs.
That's right. Yeah.
He knew that you'd have needs. See, what are needs? Needs are trials.
Yeah.
Needs are the opposition. Needs are the pushback, right? He said He knew that you would have needs, so when needs come, don't you be surprised.
Right.
Because what happens when I talk about people getting frazzled, all of a sudden something will break down. Or a bill will come, or maybe a change in the job, or a change in your business, and there's always bills coming in, right? And there needs to be outflow going out, and maybe sometimes it's not matching up to where it needs to be. But see, that didn't catch God by surprise.
Right.
See, you wouldn't need the supply if you would never have a need. But here's the order. The need always shows up before the supply. So when the need shows up and there is no supply, don't be alarmed. The supply is on its way.
Right.
That's the order.
Praise God.
And so when and you open the door and there's a bill you can't pay, or your car breaks down, or your refrigerator goes out, or something happens in your job, or something unexpected. You ever had an unexpected bill or an unexpected financial test? When that happens, take a deep breath, because okay, God made provision for this. It's called a supply.
Amen.
There's a supply for everything you would need. See, God, see, the reason maybe that times you don't have the supply is because there's no need yet. When the need comes, it triggers something with God, if you'll be in faith, the supply. So you always got to know when the need shows up, don't fret. Just know, oh, coming behind that's going to be the supply. Don't be alarmed. And when you understand that, it'll keep you in that level of faith. It'll keep you in that faith realm. Right? I mean, I've been there. Things show up, unexpected things, and whew, it's a heavy blow at times. And it can, and at that moment, right, we always talk about your response is everything.
Yeah.
Well, I want to help you tonight because you're going to be in this world, and if you want to increase for the kingdom of God, then you might as well get used to having push back against your finances. Why? Because it is so important that you prosper, not only for your family, but for the kingdom of God.
Amen.
If business owners and personal people that are working just you know, jobs that they're not business owners, if you would understand that your prosperity is directly tied to the kingdom advancing, and if you'll have a heart to be rich and wealthy in your business and in your personal finances for the kingdom, you will be so wealthy you won't even know what you. It'll be like when you get that in order. When you get that in order, when you realize the reason he's prospering me is so I can be a blessing to the kingdom, because guess what? You can't take it with you. You might as well make it. Now, that doesn't mean you don't save and you don't leave things and you don't enjoy things. That's not, you know, you could get in a ditch on that realm and say, 100%, if I ever say this, you just run for the next church. 100% of all your money ought to come here. I don't know. That's not what we're saying. But if you'll understand, have the idea that money's just a tool. That whatever tools come through, I'm going to use it for the kingdom of God. If you understand that, God said, I got to get them more because they're using it. It's the old saying, what? If he can get it through you, he'll get it to you. Well, we have scripture on that. The Bible says he gives seed to the sower. The more you sow, the more seed is going to keep on coming. Why? Oh, that's someone that will do what I say. It's like the hose, right? The hose output. The hose is outputting, guess what? While the hose is outputting, the hose always stays wet.
Amen.
The hose always stays wet. And so if people will understand that and have that mindset, and why I'm saying that is, if you're going to increase in God and take that standpoint of, okay, it'll change your mindset when you go to the job you hate. Stop working for a living and start working for a giving. I don't remember who it was. I just recently told somebody, I said, you know, when you go to work and you're dreading it, just remember, every hour you log in increases your tithe, which helps the kingdom. It increases your opportunity to be a blessing in the offering, which not only helps the kingdom, but it helps your return. And I said, every time you go to a job, remember, I'm doing this for Jesus, I'm doing this for the kingdom. It'll change your mindset and get in a faith for a better job while you're doing that. But then you don't go there grumpy, say, I'm doing this for the kingdom, praise God. And if you'll live that way, God say, oh, there's someone I can just keep blessing, praise the Lord. And what I'm saying is, if you'll take that standpoint to be used by God financially and to be in a place where you know that I want to increase for the kingdom of God, then the devil is going to push back against you. Why? Because he wants to plug that supply up.
That's right.
He wants to plug that supply up. So, tonight I'm going to show you 4 steps of what you need to do when a financial trial comes your way of any amount, business-wise, personal, anything that you have your hand to that involves you, when it shows up in your life, I'm going to show you the 4 steps that will get the exact amount of money, probably more, but at least what you need, taken care of every single time across the board, if you'll do it, okay? So these 4 steps are vital. Now, I'm not a big note taker in church. I usually, if the Lord prompts me to write something down or I jot something down, or sometimes I'll take a few notes, but I always go back. And let me ask, just say this to you. If you're not taking notes, and this is something new that you've heard, this cannot be the only time you hear it, because it'll go in one ear and out the other. You need to get these truths established in your heart so you know exactly what to do. Praise God. I've been doing this for years. My pastor's been doing it for years. Pastor Nancy Dufresne's been doing it for years. Brother Hagin did it for years. And it worked, and it worked, and it worked, and it worked.
Amen?
Amen?
Yeah.
Praise God.
Yeah.
We'll go. So we're in Philippians 4:19. Are you ready for step number one of when a need shows up and you need a certain amount of money to meet that need? Number one, the first thing you do is you claim the money you need. You claim it. What does that mean? You say, I claim that amount of money as mine in the name of Jesus. Now, we already have Philippians 4 and verse 19 pulled up. Let me just say this way, and I don't mean to be, if you do this, I'm not trying to be, you know, a sarcastic, you know, we have young ears and a J-E-R-K up here, right? I'm not trying to be one of those in this sermon tonight. But it is unscriptural to pray to God for money. It is unscriptural. He has no money to give you. If he did, he would be a counterfeiter. What do I mean by that? The U.S. government, right? Wherever at the Mint or wherever they produce money, they have specific machines and ways they do the money. And all the money gets produced from the same place, right? It all has a number on it and it's all accounted for, correct? So if God were to rain down dollar bills from heaven to you, and God were to give you dollar bills, he would be a counterfeiter. And God is not a counterfeiter. He doesn't show up with angels with buckets full of money. That's not how he does things. And for you to pray, Lord, I pray for $50 to meet that need. I pray for $5,000. It's unscriptural. It's nowhere in the Word are we told to pray to God for money. We're just not told to do that. In fact, the Bible says that my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So let me ask you a question. Is it in the will of God for your needs to be met?
Yes.
Absolutely. We got Bible on it, right? The New Testament and the Old Testament is a testament of his will, or what it's like when somebody leaves you a will, put you in their will, right? And they leave that in writing. It's showing you exactly what that person wants. So if someone left me a gun in their will, I don't have to wonder, is that gun for me, right? I know it's got my name in the will. It's exactly, the Bible says right there, according to his will, that his desire is to supply all of your needs. Well, why would you have to ask him for money when he's already told you, I'll supply it?
Yeah.
It's already there. It's yours, praise God. So you need to claim what is yours. How does that look? A bill comes in for $100 you don't have. Father, in the name of Jesus, I claim $100. Well, doesn't Mark 11:23 say you'll have what you say? And all you're saying is exactly what he already said in the Word, which was, I will supply our needs. But we know that just because it's written in the Bible doesn't mean it'll come to pass in your life until it gets into your mouth. Salvation's available for everybody, but it doesn't come near unto them until they confess Jesus is Lord, believe that God raised him from the dead, then they'll be saved, even though it's theirs. Same with the needs being met. Just because it's in the Word doesn't mean it'll happen. In fact, I know a whole lot of Christians that are just not even getting by. Right? I mean, I'm talking family, other churches. I mean, just within the body of Christ. I know a whole lot of Christians that are heaven-bound, love the Lord. God loves them just the same as he loves the Christian whose needs are being met, that aren't having their needs met. And so we have a part to play to get our needs met. Number one is you claim what you need. Praise God. Needs belong to you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, it would do you good at the beginning of the year or a monthly budget to know exactly what you need, wouldn't it?
Yes.
We need to be skillful with some of these things. Now, I'm not telling you how to run your finances or do this, but you know, Jesus said this. He said, what man goes to build a tower but first doesn't count the cost? It'd be like if I say, yep, Jay Eckert, come build us our new sanctuary without ever sitting down with him, without ever finding out what it's going to cost, without ever finding out what we need to get for money to do it. That would be ridiculous. It's the same way Christians are wanting God to meet their needs, and they're not, they don't have a clue of what they even need. They just want random money to fall in their lap and just be out of order and be chaotic with their finances. No, it would do you good to know what you need to get your finances in order, right? Now, let me just say something about a budget, because I believe in budgets in the sense of you ought to know what you have coming in and you ought to know what you have going out, right? Isn't that what gets people into financial problems, is they spend more than what they have coming in? I mean, that's why people get into debt. Now, I'm not saying all debt's bad. I mean, in fact, the Lord has led me to get into debt on things to get into a place of being able to have more and increase. I mean, this building, we have a loan on it, but the money comes every single month to be able to pay that. Praise God. But isn't that where people struggle? They spend above what they have. Well, it'd do you good to find out, what do I have coming in and what do I have going out? What needs to go out? You know, but let me say something about a budget, because you can get in a ditch on anything. There are programs out there, and even Christian talk shows and even worldly advice that is wonderful to get people out of debt. And I used a lot of those things. You know, there's a man, Dave Ramsey. Have you ever heard of Dave Ramsey? I used his principles, the snowball effect, and paying off small things and then snowballing the debt. I used those principles. But one thing you have to be careful about budgets is make sure you don't budget the Holy Ghost out of your life. You know, a lot of those things, even on the Christian radio stations and even Dave Ramsey, and again, wonderful, for 90-some percent of his stuff is just dynamic. If you're struggling financially, I'd encourage you. But one thing that he never leaves room for, it's just because he's never been taught it. He talks about tithing, but he never talks about giving in the sense of, what if the Holy Ghost tells you, you know, maybe you have $300 that month that in your budget says goes to savings, and the Holy Ghost tells you to sow that. Well, see, if you don't want to budget the Holy Ghost out, because you always want to be obedient to God, not the budget. Because saving that $300, it's like this one time I got some money in and the Holy Ghost was dealing with me. It was one of the biggest seeds I'd ever sown, and the Holy Ghost had dealt with me to sow it into the building program at the Jamestown Church. And I remember I was all confused, you know, because my budget, and I had my heart's desire to take that money and to pay off a credit card, which I'll tell you, that's a good thing to do. Those high interest, you know, and they really can get you sometimes. And I did so many dumb things when I was younger, and I had an opportunity to get out from under that. But the Holy Ghost was telling me to sow it. And I remember sitting down with my pastor at the time, all confused and flustered. So don't worry, I've been with you, and I still sometimes in there. And telling him, you know, I have this money coming in, and man, I really have an opportunity to pay it off. And he said, well, both things are good, but what's your heart telling you to do? Because it would have been a good thing to pay off the debts, and I wouldn't have the payment, and I could put the payment towards the church or whatever. But in that instance, the Holy Ghost was going off the budget and off Mikey's plans, right? Telling me to sow it. And he said, what's your heart? Is your heart telling you to do anything? Because both of them would be good. He said, what's your heart? I said, well, my heart's telling me to sow that money, but it just doesn't make sense. I still got this debt with this high interest credit card. He said, remember, when you sow money, that especially when the Holy Ghost is leading you to do, there's a supernatural touch that gets added to it. He says, if you pay that credit card off, that's what you're going to get. It's kind of like if you have that $300 going to savings, that's what you're going to get. But when you sow what the Holy Ghost says, it will increase that more than $300. You see what I'm trying to say? It's good to have a budget. It's good to be in order. I'll say it this way. I'm amazed, and I can't tell you how many people I've done this for. If you need help financially, I'll help you. And what do I mean by that? I can't tell you people that have told me, I just don't have any money. I'm thinking of two instances right now in my head, and they're not in this church, that somebody said, I don't have enough money. One instance said, I don't have enough money to tithe, and you know, yada, 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 all the lies the devil gives people. And I said, do you trust me enough to let me to sit down with your finances? I'm trying to be nosy. Show me everything you have going out, and show me everything that you have coming in. I said, do you trust me enough? Yes, let's do that. I found over $700 that could be added to both people in 1 month. They had no idea because they didn't have a clue what was going on in their money. They didn't realize. Now, it would take discipline and some things that they were spending that was just absolutely, there's no reason to be struggling. Like, what you're spending it on is not a good trade-off to be struggling and stressed out. And I found over $700 in both of those people in a matter of 5 minutes. See, sometimes we're in our situations, and it's crazy and chaotic, and you can't see. You need a fresh set of eyes that's not struggling with that. Someone that's not stressed out have to look at that and say, you know, if you just tweak that a little bit. I mean, I don't know how many times I'm looking at the same problem over and over at my house or different things, and someone else comes along and says, well, why don't you just do it this way? And I'm just like, right? Now, again, that's the same thing that happened with Courtney and I when we were $1,200, $2,000 short. I knew, okay, if we're going to get supernaturally out of debt, we'll have to make some adjustments in our life. So I went back and looked over a month's spending. I couldn't believe on the credit card statement, Wendy's, Applebee's, Ruby Tuesdays, Red Lobster, McDonald's. And I added it up. And I said, oh my gosh, in a month's time, there's a couple hundred dollars of eating out. I mean, just little things that, you know, We had the best of the best internet, the best of the best. It's like, okay, is it worth being stressed out and being in debt and believing God? Can I just make a little bit of adjustments? And sometimes you have to do that.
Sure.
What am I saying? To count the cost, to know what you need, so then you can claim. That's why I say it's good to sit down with your spouse at the beginning of the year and look and say, okay, this is what we need for the year upcoming. And sometimes you don't know all those variables and different things come up, but thank God we have these answers and put this into play. Amen?
All
right, so number one, claim the money you need. Why? Because your needs that being met belongs to you. Number two, so the first thing you do, thank you, Father, for X amount of money in the name of Jesus. Number two, you tell Satan to take his hands off your money. You say, what are you talking about? Well, let's show you in the Word. Number two, tell Satan, so it would be like this. Let's say it's $100, you don't have it. Father, I thank you for $100. Why can you do that? Because he said he'd meet all your needs. It belongs to you. You got to get it in your mouth. You'll have what you say. Number two, Satan, in the name of Jesus, you take your hands off that money. Why? You already know it belongs to you because the Word says so.
Right, yeah.
But now you need Satan to loose it and let it go. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. You know what I love? And this, by the way, this revelation of the Word came from Brother Hagin. The Lord showed him, he said, listen, the way you do are doing it, praying to ask me for money, he said, you might as well stand there, twiddle your thumbs, and sing, Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. I have no money for you up here.
Yeah.
I'm not the U.S. Mint or Treasury. I don't have anything for you. And so the Lord showed him how to do it. And before he started preaching it, he put it into practice in his meetings. He'd have a certain budget that he'd have to meet, and he would do the steps that the Holy Ghost gave him. That's why I love him. He was so balanced. All his visions, revelations, visitations he had always were backed up with the Bible. Never be careful when people start telling you fruity-tooty, off-the-wall things that have nothing to do with the Word of God. That's when it gets a little crazy. Well, he saw it in the Word, what I'm showing you in the Word, put it into practice, and it worked, so then he started preaching it. Well, I got a hold of it, and I said, I'm not going to start preaching it till I put it to practice and make sure it works. And by golly, the Word works!
Amen.
Stinking Word works, man. Glory to God. The Word works. It is the most powerful. I mean, this thing is like dynamite. It works, man. Oh, praise God. I don't know why I'm calling you man. I had a friend him and his brother got pulled over. And let's just say one of them was higher than a kite, if you know what I mean. And the police officer said, you know, get out, do all this. And the police officer said, okay, you need the license and registration. And the gentleman said, okay, man. And step out of the car. Okay, man. Okay, walk, do this, walk, whatever they had to do for him, you know. Okay, man. And the officer said to him, stop calling me man. If you call me man one more time, we're going to have trouble. And the guy went, okay, man. So I don't know why I'm calling you man tonight, but I'm high on Jesus, I guess. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. We know this verse, that Satan is the god of this world. The one place calls him the prince of the power of the air, or the one that is in charge. And I'm going to show you in another place in a second. But let me ask you a question. Is money, the things that you pay your bills, fill your gas tanks up, fill your cupboards, green money, is that of this world or of heaven? It's of this world. They don't have dollar bills up there. And so if Satan is the god of this world, guess who's in charge of the financial system in the world in which you live? It's the devil's. He's the God, the supreme ruler of planet Earth. Now, don't be alarmed. We know that through Jesus, the Christian is not subject to him. We have authority over the God of this world because we're not of this world. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. So Satan is the God of this world. Now, go with me to Luke chapter 4. In verse 1, I'm going to further show this to you, why you have to tell him to take his hands off it. Because legally, the money belongs to him. Ooh, got quiet. Legally, on planet Earth, the money system belongs in Satan's hands. It's legally his to be in charge of until the Christian does something about it. Luke chapter 4 and verse 1, says, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted of the devil 40 days. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, 'If you be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread.' And Jesus answered him, saying, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God.'" Now notice this. "And the devil, taking him up to a high mountain..." So this really happened. Now picture this. You know, when you go up on a mountain, you have a better vantage point. I remember going out to Colorado. You know, I told you on Sunday that one of the dumb things I did in my life was I took my student loan money and bought a motorcycle. Second student loan check I got, I took Pastor Tim and we went hiking around the Colorado Rocky Mountains. Real intelligent. Here I am telling you about money. Oh, why would you want to listen to him? Praise God. But I know that when we would get up in the mountains, boy, you could see down and see for, you know, miles and miles and see towns off in the distance and just have a better vantage point. So the devil took Jesus up on a mountain, and notice what he did. Showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world the moment of time. So the discerning of spirits was in operation, because obviously you couldn't go up on a mountain and see all the kingdoms of the world. But he got up there, and in the spirit, the devil showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Now notice what the devil said. Now remember, Jesus was tempted of the devil. See, if you bring, if I'm hungry and I say, you know what, I'm fasting today, and I have purposed in my heart to fast and seek God, and you say, "I'm going to mess Pastor Mike up today. I'm going to show up at church with a plate of sushi. You can put that from me all day. I ain't going to touch it." But I'll tell you what. You put a slice of pizza, some Taco Bell, right? A cheeseburger, a steak in front of me. I'm going to be tempted to break that fast, right? A temptation. Remember, the Bible said Jesus was tempted of the devil. It's not a temptation to lay sushi in front of me. Why? Don't care about it. Nothing that moves me. So anyways, he said, took him up into the kingdom of all the kings of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, "All this power will I give you." What's the devil saying? I'm in charge of all the kings of the world. Kind of goes along with prince of the power of the air. Kind of goes along with 2 Corinthians 4:4, that he's the god of the world. He says, "I will give to you and the glory of them." That talks about the splendor, the wealth, the majesty, all that goes along with the kingdom of the world. For that, wouldn't you say that the dollar bill is part of the structure of America? Whereas something else in another country, a different denomination or different whatever type of currency they would use. He says, "I will give you all the power and give you all the glory of them, for that," what? "The power and the glory is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it," or whoever I want to give it to, I'll give it to. He says, "It was delivered unto me." Well, if we know the Bible, we know when it was delivered unto him. It was delivered unto him in the Garden of Eden. Remember, God said, "Adam and Eve, you're in charge. Dominion is yours." But then we know, when it says "is given," it says that word "delivered" means to be handed over. We know Adam and Eve handed over their authority. And from that point on, the devil took charge, didn't he? He said, "I'll give it to you because it was given to me. I can give it back." He said, "I'll give it back if you'll fall down and worship me." See, he knew if he could get Jesus to worship him, this whole thing... We're not here today, by the way. If Jesus falls down and worships the devil, it's over. It's over. But here's the point that I want to make, is that Jesus answered and said, "Devil, that's not yours to give. You're full of it. You don't have..." No, he didn't say that, did he? He said, "Get behind me, Satan. It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall you serve." My point is, if the devil didn't have it to really give it, it wouldn't have been a temptation for Jesus. If it was already Jesus's and God's and not the devil's, he would have said that to him, and the Bible couldn't have recorded it as being a temptation. Like when you put sushi in front of me, it doesn't tempt me. But after I've been not eating all day, you put a piece of pizza in front of me, that's going to tempt me. He laid something before Jesus that he knew would be a temptation. Why? Jesus was all God, but he was all man too. What person on earth would not be tempted to become in charge of all the kingdoms of the world? To be exalted to such a high place? Everybody would be tempted. I mean, people do it all the time. People sell out all the time, right? To get higher, sell out for God, don't they? They do wrong things. They take jobs that take them out of church. They follow the paycheck and not. They do it all the time. I mean, imagine getting this. And he had flesh. He was in flesh too. It would be a very big temptation. Well, it was. Why? Because the devil had to get it. My point is, the devil is in charge of money on planet Earth. Notice in the Word of God, do you agree with me that deliverance belongs to everybody? The freedom from oppression, the freedom from the devil's attack on their life. Don't you agree that everybody freedom belongs to everybody? Like Jesus came to set the captives free. It belongs to everybody. But notice in the Word of God that when the devil was harassing people, even though it belonged to people, something still had to be said to the devil to get his hands off of that person. You know, you think about people that were demon-possessed or possessed by the devil. Just Jesus being there and just the fact that it belonged to them didn't get the devil to take his hands off of them. Just because it belongs to you in the Word, all your needs met, doesn't mean that the devil's going to take off his hands off the money that is his. The only way he has to take his hands off is when the born-again Christian through Jesus who stripped him, who whipped his rear end in hell, right, made a show of him openly, paraded him through the streets of hell. The only way, because we've been given the victory now, remember Jesus said, all authority has been given unto me. Go therefore. He says, I give you my authority. What? To tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. What's one of the powers of the enemy? He holds the money. He holds back the supply. Why? Because you need the supply for your life, for your family, for your enjoyment, for the kingdom of God. So he holds it back. Just because it belongs to you, just like deliverance belongs to everybody, the devil didn't take his hands off people until somebody with authority said, get your hands off of them in the name of Jesus. Loose them and let them go. And then he has to. Right? Cast out devils. Right? The Bible says we have the ability to lay hands on the sick, right? Cast out devils in Jesus' name. Well, we have to cast the devils out. Those people that are being set free have the right to be free. They have a right to live victorious and to live healthy and happy lives and peaceful lives. But just because it's in the Word and they have a right to that and salvation's for everybody, it doesn't come to pass until somebody says, stop it, get out of them. And then the devil says, got to obey that. So when he's holding your money, step number two, you say, in the name of Jesus, take your hands off that $100, loose it and let it go. He has to obey you. He has to go, boop. He has a grip on it so tight because he knows what it means for your life. He knows what it means for the kingdom. But when you tell him, the born-again Christian, see, that's why it's important for you to know your authority. You've been given authority over all the power of the enemy. You've been seated far above principality, powers, might, and dominion. The devil is under your feet. He has to beckon to your call. He has to obey your voice. And so when you say, devil, in the name of Jesus, loose that money, let it go, boom. The money's there now for the taking. Amen? That's step number two. So number one, claim what you need. Number two, command the devil to take his hands off your money. Now you ready for number three?
Yeah.
Go with me to Hebrews chapter 1. So now the money's just sitting there. The money you need, everything you need is already here.
Amen.
It's just got to change hands.
Yeah, right. That's good.
It's got to change human hands. God and the angels do not have your money. Men do. Women do. This world has your money. So when you loose it and let it go, now it's there. Now it needs to get to you. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 1. Oh, wait till you start doing, just using this. Ooh, you'll be so happy when a need shows up. Ooh, I get to do the word again. Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1 and verse 13. But to which of the angels said he at any time, or has he ever said, sit on my right hand until I make your enemies thy footstool? Well, what's a footstool? Something that's under your feet. He said, well, what angel did I ever say to be seated with me on my right hand and I'll make your enemies your footstool? The answer is none. Who did he seat next to him? Jesus. Well, guess who Jesus is? You are. He's the head, you're the body, you are him. Right? The Bible says he's been seated far above all principality, powers, might, dominion. Where is he seated? At the right hand of God. Well, then the Bible says in Ephesians 2 that you've been raised together and seated with him.
Hallelujah.
And what angel did he ever say that I'm going to put your enemies under your feet? None of them. But to what Christian has he said it? Every single one of them. Every Christian has the authority over the devil and he's under your feet. And so he's saying, he's trying to put it in perspective, your place in comparison to the angel's place. He's saying your place is seated with Jesus, with your enemies being your footstool or under your feet, right?
Yeah.
It's like when one thing I love to do with Caleb and Abby is put my feet out, hold them down, tickle them on my feet. What? They can't get up. They can't do anything. They're powerless. They're under my feet. Same with the devil. Same with the devil. So he's saying an angel. See, we think, oh, angels, high and mighty, big, bad. Well, they are, but not big as bad as you are. Not as big as bad as you are. He said, which one did I ever make sit on my right hand and make my enemies thy footstool? The answer is none. No angel ever did he ever tell him to sit next to me. But he told Jesus, and you are Jesus. You are the body of Christ. So then he goes on to say in verse 14, he says, are they not all? Well, who's he talking about? Angels. And he's saying, all they are, now it's not diminishing who they are, but in comparison to who you are, you're here, they're here. It's just true. You are here, they are here. And he's saying, are they not just all ministering spirits, now notice this, sent forth to minister for them? So now he said, all angels are ministering spirits, which all ministry means is to serve. To minister to someone is to serve somebody. He's saying, all angels are servants sent to serve them who will be heirs of salvation. Guess who that is? You, me. He said, all angels are servants sent to minister for you. So the Lord showed Brother Hagin, he said, claim the money you need, tell Satan to loose it and let it go, but now the money's sitting there. Now you have angels that are waiting for your beck and call to go out. And he said, now go tell the angels, go out, angels, and gather that money up and bring it to me. Why? They're ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those that are heirs of salvation or to serve you. Think about when you're at a restaurant, right? And you want more water, or you want dessert, or you want more pop, or whatever it is. What do? You say something. You ask them to go get it, and guess what the servants do? They go and do what they're told to do. Now let me show you something in the angels, of what they hearken to. Go to Psalms. Oh, let's see here. Go to Psalms 103 in verse 20. See, when you tell the angels to go, when you do number one, you're in the will of God, which is claim the money you need, it belongs to you. When you do number two, that's in the will of God. Satan's got control. You got to loose him. When you say number three, angels, you go forth. All you're doing is doing what the Word says to do.
Amen.
He's been told. See, whenever I go, I've been lately, you know, I got a bike and I've been trying to get more fitness incorporated. And when I go on a bike, I say angels. You know, the Bible says the angel of the Lord encamps round about those that fear him. To fear the Lord means to shun evil, to stay away from evil, to have a reverence for him. The Bible says the angel of the Lord will encamp round about that person. So when I get ready to go on my bike, and on the road I live until I get on a side road, it's pretty busy, cars going, you know, 55 to 65 miles an hour, I say, angels, now you go and you form a hedge around me of protection. The Bible says in Psalm 91 that he'll give his angels charge over you. They'll bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. No evil will befall you, no plague come near your dwelling. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Before I go to bed at night, every single night, and every day I'm saying my confession, I say, now, Father, I thank you for my family. I thank you angels go before them. They bear them up in their hands. Why? I'm employing them. That's what you need to do. You need to put the angels, get them on your payroll. And they don't cost anything. They're cheap labor. All it costs is some air. That's all it costs.
Amen.
Well, the Bible says that they've been put there to help you, to serve you. And so Psalms 103, aren't you glad you came tonight? Praise God. I'm so glad you did too. Psalms 103, verse 20. 103, verse 20 says, bless the Lord, you his angels that excel in strength. Aren't you glad they're powerful beings? You know, people that have had glimpses, like Brother Hagin, and different people that have seen into the Spirit, talk about them being tall, strong beings. Praise God. Ain't no little naked baby with a harp. And a little arrow, right? A little hind end showing. We got power behind us.
Hallelujah.
Psalms 103, verse 20. Blessed Lord, you angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments. Do you see that? That do his commandments. What are his commandments? The Word. That do the Word. Now notice this. Hearkening, notice this, unto the voice of his word. Well, guess who's told to speak the word? Jesus is not here. God is not here to speak it for you. We're told to get the word in our mouth and for us to say something. The angels hearken to when somebody says the word of God. That's their commandment. That's when they know. That's when they know. And when you say, in the name of Jesus, take your hands off that money. I claim that money. Take your hands off it. Now, angels, you go forth and gather it up. You're not doing anything outside of the boundaries of what God has told you you have at your disposal with angels to go forth. Now, real quick, let me show you a couple verses. Proverbs 13 and verse 22. Proverbs 13 and verse 22. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. The wealth of the sinner means that at one time it was in the sinner's hand, but if it's laid up for the just, when the just get it, it had to change owners. It had to change locations. The wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Well, guess what? You're the just. The Bible says the just shall live by faith, talking about you. The wealth of the sinner is, it's in the sinner's hand, but when it's laid up for the just, or when the just get it, there was a transaction. Yeah. Now go with me real quick to Luke 6:38. Luke 6:38, and then we'll go on to point number four and wrap this thing up. Luke 6:38. It says, give, and it shall be given unto you. What's this? This is sowing and reaping. Good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Shall angels give into your bosom? Nope. Shall God appear to you with buckets of money? Nope. Shall men? Why? Because money is in the hands of men, and to get it, you need it to change hands. Shall men give into your bosom? So, men have your supply. We're talking about mankind, not just men. Mankind have your supply, and you need it to change hands into your hands. The way you do it is you claim, number one. Number two, you tell the devil, see, people that are giving you problems, it might not be that person, it might be the spirit behind that person. Maybe you need more money, and maybe your boss is being motivated by the devil, right? And not your boss, Steve. Steve's boss is right here. He's not even excluding Steve, right? But maybe your boss is being motivated by the devil, right? And maybe that causing you hard time, causing the money to, maybe you have something that's rightfully yours, that the devil's influencing people to keep it from you. Listen, just because your needs are supposed to be met, it's not going to rain down and just be so pretty for you. It's just not going to happen that way. You got to do something about it, right? The violent take it by force, the Word of God says. Sometimes we got to get nasty with the devil and dig in, right? And so there's times the devil will motivate people when it says, that's why you say, Satan, take your hands off my money, because Satan works through people. That's how he does his plan too. He works through people. So, Satan, take your hands off my money. At that point, right, the money's released and ready to go, but now you need it to get to you. Angels, in the name of Jesus, step three, go forth and cause that money to come. What do? They ministering spirits, they go out and they influence the people that have your money to get the money in your hands. Changing hearts, changing mindsets, influencing people, putting things on people's heart. I tell you the story about when I was believing God for that supernatural debt payoff and all that, and remember I was confessing for all that, believing God, and a check for $9,000 for somebody that will stand in this pulpit and tell you that they cannot stand Michael William Anderson. Talking about me, they will tell you that I don't like him. I've heard him say it over and over, heard him publicly say that. They said, man, I just feel like I just got to get this to you. This is just yours. What is that? That's an angel. That's me saying, in the name of Jesus, money, you come to me. That money was mine, glory to God. And maybe there's a business deal or a transaction someone's holding up. Angels, you go forth. And they influence. And they help. And Lord told Brother Hagedus, and he did it, and it worked. And I'm telling you, it works. So number one, claim the money you need. Number two, tell Satan, take his hand off. Number three, employ the angels. They're there for you. They're there for your beck and call. And number four, are you ready?
Amen.
Once you say, angels, go forth, you gather that money up, they are on assignment. They have to hearken unto the Word of God, which your needs being met are the Word of God. They have to go out and do that. But how many of you know, with anything with faith, there's no timetable. What do I mean? That it's not, once you pray it, it's not all of a sudden in your bank account. It's not all of a sudden in your pockets and in your wallet. So what you do, step forward, the Lord told Brother Hagee, he said, after you claim it, after you tell Satan to drop it, and loose it and let it go, and after you tell the angels to go, number four, enter into praise and worship. How long do you do that? Until it comes. I don't mean to do that continually and you stay up all night. Nope. Every time you think about that need, every time that situation comes up and brought to your mind or brought to your attention, you say, Father, I thank you. The money's coming. Money's coming. The money's coming. Why? You already did step one, two, three. You don't have to do it again. The angels, they don't have a hearing problem. They don't. What did you say again? You could repeat out those steps? No. If you are in faith, you will know after you do step one, two, and three, you know that money is now on its way. It is coming to you. Praise God. And you enter into praise and worship. Colossians 4 and verse 2. We have two verses left and we'll be done. Colossians 4 and verse 2. In the lobby, microphone is on or lobby speaker is on? Thank you. It says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with asking over and over and over again. No. The way you continue in prayer to continue go on to this, into thanksgiving, praise and worship. It's just like when you release the prayer of faith in Mark 11, 23 and 24. Therefore, I say whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive, and you'll have them. You only pray that prayer of faith one time, and then from that point on, you just enter into thanksgiving. You know, I have a confession list on here, and it's not just for my own personal... I think out of how many things I confess for, I think I confess for probably over 30 things. I think there's two of them on there for personal benefits for me. So it's things for the church, things for my family, things for the kingdom of God, different things like that. Well, some of these I've already released my faith for, and I don't ask for them again. Every day I just say, thank you for that, Father. Why, I'm keeping my faith out there. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, that's coming. Thank you, Lord, I'll see that. I don't ask Him again. And anytime doubt will try to creep in or it just seems like it's taking a long time, no. I already released my faith. It's coming. You see, sometimes the devil has a tighter grip on things, right? And it takes a little longer to get them going. Or maybe somebody won't cooperate. So God's got to go to another person. But it always will come to you. It will always come to you. Continue in prayer with thanksgiving. James 2 and verse 20, and we'll close. James 2 and verse 20. But will you know, O vain man, that faith... See, it's faith to claim what you need. It's faith to tell the devil to release. It's faith to tell the angels to go forth. But then there's a step four. That faith without works is dead. What's one of the works of faith? Praise and worship. Why can you praise and worship? Because you're excited it's coming. You're excited it's changing. You know it's yours in the spirit realm. Praise God. That's putting action with what you say you believe. You can tell when people aren't in faith, right? You hear it in their voice. You see it on their face. You see it in their walk. You hear it in their talk. Yeah. Gloomy, dark, right? But those people that believe, I mean, you know it. They say, oh, this is going on. Oh, yeah, it's going on, but it's changing. Where? I don't know. I don't see it coming. It's not any closer than it was yesterday, but it's changing. It's changing. Thank you, Father. It's changing. What is that? Faith without works is dead. Yeah. By praise and worship, you are declaring that you believe the Bible. You are declaring that you believe God is true. So in closing, claim what you need. Number two, tell Satan to take his hands off. Number three, tell the angels to go forth. And number four, enter into praise and worship till it comes. Praise God. If you'll do those four steps, when things come up that you need, you'll see it met every single time. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the word tonight. We're blessed here. We're so thankful to have sound Bible teaching. I don't mean the preacher. I mean just, well, I can only preach what I've been taught. So I thank you for what I've learned and what the men of God that have paved and the women of God that have paved the trail before me. And you know, Father, it's like when there's snow problems and heavy snowfall, lake effect snow storm. Father, there's men and they go out and they plow the roads. And that makes it so when I go out on that road, it's not as hard for me as it would have been. And so, Father, I thank you for the men and women of God that have plowed and paved the way for us to just enjoy the blessings of salvation. And Father, the devil will always want to twist things and make it seem like we're selfish talking about money and needs. But here's the thing, Lord, is that you're our dad. And you care about our needs being met. Nobody would say I'm selfish for caring that Caleb's needs are met and Abby's needs are met. Everybody would say, well, you're a good dad, Pastor Mike. Same with you, Father. It's okay that we teach people how to get their needs met. And Father, we know that we're not trying to be selfish. At least I'm not. And I believe I'm in the company of people that have pure hearts. That yes, you have a desire to be blessed and enjoy life and to make sure your family's well taken care of, but most importantly, at the forefront, we want to be blessed to be a blessing. And so, Father, we need to be skillful concerning our finances and how to get the money that we need. Father, we got a building program coming up. We're going to need people to believe you for money. Father, we're going to need to get this done. That building is attached to lives, lives that are on their way to hell, but that building is going to cause families to grow and the church to grow. Father, we need people to be prosperous and have their needs met so they can be a blessing. Father, that's our heart. That's our heart at this church, to be a blessing so people can be blessed and come into the kingdom and be taught and trained. Father, we'll give you the praise, give you the glory. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Ask yourself this question if you hear my voice right now. If I died tonight, would I go to heaven? If your answer isn't a 100% yes, it can be. Because the Bible says your ticket to heaven is Jesus. If you believe Jesus died and rose again, that means that salvation is available to you. Say, what do I do? What do I do? Just if you're here tonight, or if you're listening, or listening in the future, and you say, I don't know if I go to heaven. But you can say, I do believe in Jesus. I believe that He died and rose again. All you need to do is say, Lord, I believe in You. Come into my heart. I believe You died. I believe You rose again. If you'll do that, the Bible says if you call on His name, you'll be saved. Just mean that with all your heart. Say, is it really that simple? It sure is. But then get a hold of us through email, through phone call, whatever, and we'll get you hooked up in a Bible teaching church to tell you all the wonderful things that God has for you. Father, we love You tonight. Bless these wonderful people that would come out on a nice night, Lord, where there's so much to do and after work and everything. Bless them, Father. I know the word was such a blessing, but Lord, give them extra blessings, Father, as they go forth here tonight. We'll give You the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll see y'all Sunday morning, 10 o'clock. You're dismissed.